Chapter 23. This time of Levi West's unwelcome visitation was indeed a time of bitter trouble and tribulation to poor Hiram White. Money was of very different value in those days than it is now, and £500 was in its way a good round lump. In Sussex County it was almost a fortune. It was a desperate struggle for Hiram to raise the amount of his father's bequest to his stepbrother. Squire Hall, as may have been gathered, had a very warm and friendly feeling for Hiram, believing in him when all others disbelieved. Nevertheless, in the matter of money the old man was as hard and as cold as adamant. He would, he said, do all he could to help Hiram, but that £500 must and should be raised. Hiram must release his security bond. He would loan him, he said, £300, taking a mortgage upon the mill. He would have lent him £400, but that there was already a first mortgage of £100 upon it, and he would not dare to put more than £300 more atop of that. Hiram had a considerable quantity of wheat which he had bought upon speculation, and which was then lying idle in a Philadelphia storehouse. This he had sold at public sale, and at a very great sacrifice. He realized barely £100 upon it. The financial horizon looked very black to him. Nevertheless, Levi's £500 was raised, and paid into Squire Hall's hands, and Squire Hall released Hiram's bond. The business was finally closed on one cold, gray afternoon in the early part of December. As Hiram tore his bond across, and then tore it across again and again, Squire Hall pushed back the papers upon his desk, and cocked his feet upon its slanting top. "Hiram," said he, abruptly, "Hiram, do you know that Levi West is forever hanging around Billy Martin's house, after that pretty daughter of his?" So long a space of silence followed the speech, that the squire began to think that Hiram might not have heard him. But Hiram had heard. "No," said he, "I didn't know it." "Well, he is," said Squire Hall. "It's the talk of the whole neighborhood. The talk's pretty bad, too. Say that she was away from home 3 days last week, nobody knew where. The fellow's turned her head with his sailor's yarns and his traveler's lies." Hiram said not a word, but he sat looking at the other in stolid silence. "That stepbrother of yours," continued the old squire presently, "is a rascal. He is a rascal, Hiram, and I misdoubt he's something worse. I hear he's been seen in some queer places, and with queer company of late." He stopped again, and still Hiram said nothing. "And look ye, Hiram," the old man resumed, "suddenly, I do hear that you be courting the girl, too. Is that so?" "Yes," said Hiram, "I'm courting her, too." "Tut! Tut! Your cakes are dough." After he had left the squire's office, Hiram stood for a while in the street, bareheaded, his hat in his hand, staring unwinkingly down at the ground at his feet, with stupidly drooping lips and lackluster eyes. Presently he raised his hand, and began slowly smoothing down the sandy shock of hair upon his forehead. At last he aroused himself with a shake, looked dully up and down the street, and then, putting on his hat, turned and walked slowly and heavily away. The early dusk of the cloudy winter evening was settling fast, for the sky was leaden and threatening. At the outskirts of the town Hiram stopped again and again stood for a while in brooding thought. Then, finally, he turned slowly, not the way that led homeward, but taking the road that led between the bare and withered fields and crooked fences toward Billy Martin's. It would be hard to say just what it was that led Hiram to seek Billy Martin's house at that time of day, whether it was fate or ill fortune. He could not have chosen a more opportune time to confirm his own undoing. What he saw was the very worst that his heart feared. Along the road, at a little distance from the house, was a mock orange hedge, now bare, naked, leafless. As Hiram drew near he heard footsteps approaching and low voices. He drew back into the fence corner and there stood, half sheltered by the stark network of twigs, two figures passed slowly along the gray of the roadway in the gloaming. One was his stepbrother, the other was Sally Martin. Levi's arm was around her, he was whispering into her ear, and her head rested upon his shoulder. Hiram stood as still, as breathless, as cold as ice. They stopped upon the side of the road just beyond where he stood. Hiram's eyes never left them. There for some time they talked together in low voices, their words now and then reaching the ears of that silent, breathless listener. Suddenly there came the clattering of an opening door, and then Betty Martin's voice broke the silence, harshly, shrilly. "Sal! Sal! Where be ye?" The girl flung her arms around Levi's neck, and their lips met in one quick kiss. The next moment she was gone, flying swiftly, silently, down the road past where Hiram stood, stooping as she ran. Levi stood looking after her until she was gone. Then he turned and walked away whistling. His whistling died shrilly into silence in the wintry distance, and then at last Hiram came stumbling out from the hedge. His face had never looked before as it looked then. The Book of Pirates.